Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
So I've been thinking about journeys recently, probably because of the amazing holiday that the church and others have enabled us to go on. So I've been thinking about journeys. And that's led me to think about the journey of life. Life is a journey, right? Yeah. All of you were born at one time or other. Some of you more recently than others. We all live life, and then we come to the end of this life, and then we go into eternity, right? You know, we have life, death, and then eternity. An eternity with God or an eternity without God, depending choices that we've made, right? I always smile when atheists are on the TV or on the radio, right? I once heard an atheist, he said, you know, most people don't believe in God. And then you have to kind of smile then, because most people do believe in a God. Most people believe in something after life. Most people do that. You know, we're not in the minority. Not at the moment, anyway. We're in the majority by miles. Most people think there's something after this life. That is a normal way of thinking. When I was young, pretty much everybody did. It was almost unthought of that you would think otherwise, that there wasn't a God and there wasn't something after this. So our life is, this journey goes through this life and then into the next one. And we all get to do it, right? You can't bunk out. Life is life. You get to do it. And we can only go forwards. Wouldn't it be nice if you go backwards? Fix some things, change some things. Some of you are going like, no, I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to go forwards. We can only go forwards. We only get to do it once. You can't go back in the other films where you go back and back and back. You can't do that. You only get one go. It's all different for all of us. Your journey is different from my journey. The end of this life is inevitable. It's an inevitability, Mr. Anderson. Now, is that film that old? Yeah. It's not that old, is it? Is he 20 years old? Wow. Yeah, Matrix, that's the film. Catch up with the plan, that'd be great. Everybody's life has highs and lows. All have highs and lows. We all get to make choices, and we all make good choices and bad choices. Some people make more bad choices than others, that's true, but we all get to make choices, and we all make both. We all get to decide whether we want to believe in God or not, as the case may be. And the Bible has lots to say about this journey, about this race, which the Bible sometimes terms it as, this life that we get to live. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this, and I'm going to read it out for you. If you're taking notes, I'm still in my introduction. Hebrews 12, verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, he's talking about those who have gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race or the journey that's marked out for us. We're supposed to run. We're supposed to run with perseverance. We're supposed to keep at it. Verse 2 goes on to say, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, as you're running, your focus should be Jesus. And if this is your first time in church, I will come on to that in a second. Galatians 5, verse 7 says this. Galatians 5, verse 7 says this. You were running a good race, talking to the Galatians. Why? Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? I.e., the Bible says you can be running a good line and you can get off track. So be careful. Careful. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes this to Timothy, his spiritual son. He says this. He's an old man by now. So he says, I have fought the good fight, or I have journeyed for a long time. I have finished the race, or I'm about to finish the journey. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Basically, he says, there's a prize at the end. This journey's worth doing well, Because there's a reason at the end, a prize at the end. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 26 to 27, which will come up behind me, says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. So after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Basically, there should be training and discipline on this journey. Are you excited so far? Beat your body up, training and discipline. Don't get on track. Persevere to the end. But they're all great teaching. It's all great teaching about this journey. And all of them have a theme, which we're going to come on to in a moment. But what I do for this message, have you got all that in your minds now? Is that all good? If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is the story of, well, the beginning of a story, and then I'm going to go into chapter 12, which talks about Abram, who becomes Abraham. But chapter 11, at the end, is a very brief summary of Abraham's father, who most people forget about, because we talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes and the Israelites, right, in the Bible. But before Abraham was his dad was called Terah. It says this in Genesis 11, verse 27. Terah became the father of Abram. Abraham became Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father, Terah, was still alive, Haran died in the Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was a daughter of Haran, presumably different from brother, right? Otherwise, it would have been really weird, right? So I presume it's not the same one. Is that okay? Yeah, good. The father of both Milcah and Isaac. Now, Sarai was barren and she had no children. So this is what's happening in Terah's life. And Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, and the wife his son Abram. And together they set out from the Ur of Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. I.e., they were down in the bottom of Iraq. They went north across, and then they also got down the Mediterranean coast into Canaan. But they got stuck at the top, basically. They got stuck at the top, and they settled there. And there they all camped for a number of decades, presumably. And it says that this guy died when he was 205, which is quite old. Good long life, right? Good long life. And this brief description of his life, of Terah's life, can you just go like, oh, that's interesting. But it's interesting in the fact of this, that he got part way on his journey. And then the story goes on. The writer of Genesis goes on. So Terah's died. So Abraham and Nahor, they're now where they are in Haran. So then the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you. I go to Canaan. Finish the journey off that your father didn't. And then it says this, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. God says to Abraham, who becomes Abraham, he says, look, I have a great plan for you. I have a purpose. I have a real amazing journey for you to go on. So you need to pick your stuff up, and you need to go on. If you will go on this journey, says God, I will bless you. I will bring you into a promised land. I will bless you and your family. I will bless your generations. I will do something significant, not just in your life, but the life of your family and generations and in the world to come. If you will go on. Now, if you read the theologians who write about this passage, they are undecided, because we don't know, whether Terah had the same message from God that Abraham had. We do know he set off and he got part way. But we don't know what God said. There's a presumption that it was God who called him to make the same journey. Remember, we read there in verse 31, Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out from the Ur of Chaldees to go to Canaan. So they're going to the same place, but they never got there. But then God calls Abraham and says, you go. If you go, this amazing blessing is going to impact your life and your family's life and the generations and even into the whole world. So it says in verse 4, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him because Lot's dad had, mum and dad had died, so his nephew went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out. He's quite an old chap, really, wasn't he? Lived quite a long time where he was, probably quite happy. 75 years, probably thought, you know, done his bit, sit back, enjoy old age. When he set out from Haran, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that he had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, to a place unknown or relatively unknown to them. Then they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, because this was the time before the Exodus in Israel. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. For those of you who know your Bibles well, no, that's quite near Jericho, right? Because Joshua conquered Jericho, and then where did he go next? Ai. So you know roughly where he is. And then from there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the Lord. And then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. He kept journeying. And I was fascinated about these two stories, these two journeys, these two lives. Terah got the call to go to Canaan, got halfway, he settled. Abraham, who became Abraham when he had children, he got the same calling and he went and he entered into a blessing, a huge blessing for himself personally, but also to his whole family and to the generations after him. And I love the fact he was 75. He actually had another 100 years to live. So he wasn't as old as perhaps he thought he was. Though I suspect if we get to 75, we won't have another 100 years to live. What do you think, Dad? Another 100 years? No, he's not keen. Not keen. Not keen at all. But we read this story. And then the Bible, after just having a paragraph of his dad, from Genesis 12, verse 10, where I finish, all the way through to Genesis 25, tells you stories about what Abraham became Abraham, and Sarah became Sarah, and how they conquered nations and killed kings and took over land, and how they were blessed and prosperous, and lots of amazing stuff happened because he went into Canaan. There's one word missing in all his story. One word. And this word is this. He never settled. He never settled. Abraham never settled. He was always on the journey. He never settled. In fact, Abraham and his offspring lived in tents until they got to Egypt. If you remember, eventually they went to Egypt when Joseph was prime minister there. Though, weirdly enough, I don't know if you ever thought about this. Do you know when the Israelites left Egypt 400 years later? And they then went camping in the wilderness for 40 years. Where did all their stuff come from? Have you ever thought about that? Remember, they're going for a three-day journey into the wilderness, right? That was the plan. But they ended up camping for 40 years, which is a long time. Now, I know the Bible says that they had supernatural help, but the stuff didn't wear out. I know that. But still, I think every Israelite, even though they were kind of in Egypt and have been for hundreds of years, all of them still had their kit somewhere stashed away for that day when they were going home to their promised land. So when Moses came back and called them, they just dusted down that which they'd had, maybe for centuries and stuff. I'm guessing, right? But they were on journey. The Israelites were on a journey. They never settled. And I believe this for each one of us, that the Bible calls the people of God to be on the journey of life, to be on the journey of life, always. Sure, we may have seasons of camping, but never a season of settling, because we're called to be on the journey of life. All those New Testament verses I read out were all about what? Going forward in the race, never stopping, never staying still, always going for, always going towards the prize, always going towards eternity, always going towards that which is to come. Philippians 3 verse 30 says that Christians, that their citizenship, where they belong, where their kind of passport is from, isn't from this place anymore, but it's from heaven itself. That's our true home. That's where we're journeying to. And if we would do that, I believe this, that if you would do that, if you would journey for the rest of your life with whatever God wants you to do, you will enter into every blessing that God has for you. You will enter every adventure that God has for you. You will encounter God like you would never believe. You will have stories to tell your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and your friends about how God has done some really crazy, amazing stuff in life, because you were always on the journey. And I want to say as your pastor that it breaks my heart to see some of you not. You've got off the journey. You've got sidetracked, or you've got settled. You've got part way, and you're kind of almost going, hey, I've done a good job, I got halfway. And God's saying, but don't stop there. There's so much more for you. There's so many more blessings to walk into. So much more for your family to enter into if you would just keep on the journey. And it's never too late. Abraham got stuck in Haran for decades with his dad. When his dad died, God called him onwards into the blessing and into the journey. Are you on that journey tonight? Or have you settled? Even if you're in the promised land, are you still journeying? If you're exactly where you're supposed to be at this moment, are you still journeying? You might be in a season of camping, but are you still on the journey? If God calls you on to Bethel or to Ai or down to the bottom of the country, to the Negev in the promised land, are you still on the journey? Or have you settled? And we settle in two ways, guys. All of us. We settle for things less good than they should be. Mine and Michelle's marriage is good. From Michelle's point of view, with attitude and loving, is perfect. But from, I have some work to do. I sure do have some work to do. But we could settle for what we've got. It's pretty good. It's been going almost 29 years. That's not bad going, right? We've done pretty well. 29 years, we've got to quite a nice level. It's kind of working most of the time. But that's called settling. We don't want to settle. We want to walk into more blessing as a marriage. With our family. Our family's not bad. Jonathan, Thomas, Abigail, for most of the time, we get on all right. There's bits and troughs and, you know, everything, you know, it's a normal family. But most of the time, we still all enjoy going on holiday together, especially if we're paying. And but we're not content. We want to make it the best family as we can. You know, I'm quite physically healthy. I hate to boast, but my brother, who's 12 years younger, we were farming in fact, it was a week ago last Friday, if I remember correctly, and we were carting bales. Do you know the hay bales that you find in fields? They weigh about 25 to 28 kilograms each, and they got two strings, and you lift them up, you put them on trailers, and then you lift them to the trailers, and you pile them up in buildings, in your barns. And I'd like to say that on the Saturday morning, after we had been busy hay timing and shifting bales, I got out of bed, very stiff and hardly able to walk. But like my brother, really. He also got out of bed, very stiff. But on Sunday when I met Andy, Andy was still a bit stiff. He could walk fairly well by then. He had kind of managed to stretch his legs out, but his shoulders were still a bit achy, and his neck was a bit funny. But by Saturday afternoon, I'd gone and got another trail load of wood, and my body was fine. So, I'm quite pleased about my physical attributes. I know I'm a little overweight. That's true. Little Porcher here, though Andy is catching me up, which is nice. Thanks, Andy. I love your support. I know you say be with me. It's great. But I'm not content with where I've got to, my physical or my spiritual or my mental. I want to, why? Because I don't want to settle when I know God has got more and better for me. I don't want you to say, Colin and Amanda, have you seen Colin and Amanda? How amazing. I mean, Cole's running. He's almost skinny. Where's Cole? Where's Cole? Oh, he's there. Hi, Cole. You're doing amazing. You know, he's doing amazing, really. And so is Amanda. Why? Because they decide we will not settle where we are. We can be fitter. We can be healthier. We can do more for Jesus. We can do more for the family. We can just do more. We won't settle. Perhaps in your finances, you're settled. Well, I will always earn this much. Maybe you're a bit short. Perhaps with your relationship with God, you've settled. Perhaps with creating great friendships, you've settled. We can settle by something that's okay, but there's so much more we could walk into. And God calls us to walk into that, to journey into the more of what he has for us, the more blessings. But we can also settle in where we are in our life. And I believe that God calls and actually desires that all of us would have a full and abundant life. John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and life in all its fullness. But if we settle for where we are in life, then actually we will miss out on that blessing. I joked a few weeks ago that every single Christian should have a passport. Thing is, it's not really a joke. If you're a Christian, get a passport. And then God can take you wherever in the world of a drop of a hat if he wants you to. Get a passport. You never know. Unless you're too scared, obviously. But you know, God calls us to go. Do you know what one of the most amazing blessings that I have, I think we have in our life, is all the friends around the world that we have. Because we bought a passport and we just said yes to God to go and do stuff. And we have great friends, lovely people scattered around the world. And DJ and Karen were here a couple of weeks ago, and they're some of our closest friends. We're going to go on holiday with them in 2.5 weeks. We're going to explore Boston together. And it's an amazing blessing. Grab a passport. Be on the journey. Enter into all the abundant life that God wants you. Well, with the final 5 minutes I have, I want to give you four things. Four things that I think will help us do the journey really well. The first one is, the obvious one is, decide to follow Jesus on your journey. There is an eternity. There is an eternity without God. There is an eternity with God. And we get to that eternity with God by following Jesus. Jesus created life, says in John chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 15 says that he's the only one who can forgive us and clean us. He's the only one who can help us have a relationship with God, Hebrews 9 and 10. He's the only one who gives us hope, joy, and peace for all of eternity. And I would encourage you, I know most of you already love Jesus. Keep on loving Jesus. But if you don't, this church exists to help you to connect with God, and we would love to do that at the end of the service. The second thing is this. Believe that God calls you, both young and old, to new adventures. Sometimes Christians think that God would never call me on new adventures. You don't need to be young to set off on a great, brand new adventure. You can be old. God does call the young for great adventures. You think about David, who was anointed as a teenager to be king of the nation of Israel. He had an amazing adventure, right? He was young. Daniel was taken captured by the Babylonians, but then he had to stand up in front of all his captors and say, well, I don't want to eat this food, I don't want to eat that food. He was kind of thrust into a great adventure at a very young age, probably maybe 13 or 14. But older people also get caught. Moses was 80 when he started his, without doubt, the greatest adventure of his Christian life. He saw miracles like never before. I love that. You were never too old to start a new chapter of life, a new season. to pull up our sticks and not camp anymore and go off on the journey to wherever God has called us to. I love that. God has never finished. Abraham, he was 75 years old in Genesis 12. We just read that. So let's be ready. Let's remember that everything is for a season. Everything is for a season. Everything is a camp. Never settle. Never settle. The third thing is this. Let's be as well prepared as possible. 1 Corinthians 9 says this. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27 says this. Well, Did I read it before? No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Basically, Paul is saying, look, I prepare well for all I do. You know, get to know your Bible well. I said that before, but it's kind of essential, right? Make sure your health is good. I mentioned that. Make sure your relationships are good. You know, if you don't have some really trusted Christian friends in your life, go get some. Don't wait. Just go get some. And if you need to travel a bit, spend some money, go do it. Go and get some. Best thing that Michelle and I have ever done in our entire lives is really foster some great relationship. Make sure you have some spare finance. I think that's key. Be well prepared. The fourth thing is this. Work hard where you are today. We are on a journey. We are only camping. But God also calls us to do everything we can as well as we can today. Colossians verse 3. When I find Colossians. Colossians verse 3, verse 23. Paul writes this. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. In every season, let's work as hard as we can, even though we know we're camping. We know there's more of the journey to go. Let's give it our absolute best, knowing that we serve Jesus wherever we do and in everything that we do. Church, we're called to a journey towards a prize. We're called for eternity to resonate in our hearts. And yes, we do have seasons of camping, but we never have seasons of settling. Ever have seasons of settling. Never settle for less than God intended. And never settle in such a way that means you cannot go in whatever journey God might call you to in the future. God longs to bless his people. God longs to help them encounter him in new and wonderful ways. And my pastor's plea to you is, please don't settle. Always be on the journey. And in that place, you'll see God fulfill all his desires, all his blessings in your life.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.